Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Wonderful to be here. It's always such a joy, such a privilege. A few things to mention. Please be praying this week. I will be visiting the PCS school and sharing a couple of the classes there. It's an amazing door that God has opened, but we really ask that you would cover that with us in prayer. So that will be Tuesday and Wednesday. I'll be doing classes and sharing about Christianity there. So please pray for that. Because of that, we will not have our regular Old Testament class here on Tuesdays. We'll pick that up again next week. By the way, we've had amazing times in Bible class. And if you're not able to plug in and be here at the actual class, we have them all on the website. And from your pastor's heart, I really encourage you to be in the Word, not only at services, but we have these Bible classes, Book of Acts and Old Testament. You really grow in your faith and your understanding. And then we have the midweek study this week, 7 p.m. at our house. So, happy Mother's Day or Mothering Sunday. How many mothers do we have here today? Could you stand up if you're a mother? Just stand right up on your feet. Okay, wow, amazing, amazing, wow. We applaud, no, stay standing, all right. Oh, we applaud you, amazing, wonderful. And stay standing if you are a grandmother. Wow, amazing, that's wonderful. Woo, the grandmothers. And maybe, do we say stay standing if you're a great-grandmother? Wow, amazing, wonderful, wonderful. Wow, we have some beautiful mums. Do we have a great-great-grandmother? Wow, incredible, wow. Wonderful, wonderful. How about this? How many sons and daughters do we have here today? Stand up if you're a son or a daughter. Stand up if you're a daughter or a son. That's all of us. That's right. It took a while. People were thinking, wait, am I a son or a daughter? Okay, you can sit down. The point being, this is today's message is a message for all of us because we are all sons and daughters. And we've all had mums, mothers, and fathers. And today we honor our mothers in our hearts, whether they are with us today or whether they are not. As believers, we have great honor for the principle of families, for the gift of a mother, for the memory of our mothers. We remember the sacrifices, the gift, the hours, the tears, the laughter. And what a gift that is. There is no relationship quite like that on earth with your mother. So if you're a mum here today, of course, we especially honor you. But also, you have honor in your heart for your mum, for you are a daughter or you are a son. In our hearts, we thank God. We thank God for our mum. We thank God. Thank you, Lord. We thank God for our families. For our families are a gift of God. Families were God's idea. Right? Mothers and fathers and husbands and wives and children. The family unit. It is God's idea, God's design, God's order. His genetic plan was that you have your family. And it is a special gift to you. And our families are not perfect. Hello? Amen? Our families are not perfect. Our mums are not perfect. Our fathers are not perfect. But it's our family. And it's a gift to us. So this morning we're going to read together. Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 1. And just read in your hearts with me as I read these verses. Proverbs 1, verse 7, 8, and 9. If you don't mind, could we stand up for the reading of the word together? Verse 7. We just do that out of honor and respect to the word. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Or in 9:10, the beginning of wisdom. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law or the teaching of your mother. For they will be a graceful ornament on your head and a necklace chain about your neck. Father, we pray that you would bless the word of God to our hearts today, that you would quicken us and teach us, that you are our teacher, our comforter. We ask you to quicken us, each one here, from the youngest to the oldest. We pray you'd speak to our hearts and bless the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, let's be seated together. The book of Proverbs starts this way. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, the king of Israel. The author of Proverbs was Solomon. And in this verse we read, he mentions the teaching of his mother. And his mother was Bathsheba. Perhaps we would think of it as such a strange choice for a Mothering Sunday message to speak about Bathsheba and her son Solomon. But actually, I think there could be no more fitting character than that, because she was not perfect and Solomon was not perfect. And they failed and they had troubles and they also had victories and grace in their life. This is real life. It is not a plastic model but it is real life. So it's very fitting for us. And Solomon, as he writes the Proverbs, he makes this mention of not forsaking the teaching of your mother. The circumstances of his birth, we remember, were quite ugly. We read the story in 2 Samuel 11 that Solomon's father David, he committed adultery. He had Bathsheba's husband murdered, Uriah murdered, and then he took Bathsheba for his wife. It is not a pretty picture. But we don't read of direct judgment on Bathsheba, but on David. It was really all on him. He was the king, and he used his position and had his way. But she also suffered greatly. She lost her husband, and then she would lose her firstborn in the judgment. But Solomon here looks to the teaching of his mother. Solomon did stray a few times, quite far, but also he came back. There were principles that had been laid down in his life and his heart by the instruction of his father and by the teaching of his mother. Though he did forsake it, perhaps there were times when he did not heed it, he came back. The background of Bathsheba, something we may not often consider, but her father was Eliam in 2 Samuel 11. It means God is my kinsman. This was her father. And he is listed among David's mighty men. The top 37 mighty men. Bathsheba's father was one of those men. And also the man he agreed with or chose for his daughter's husband, Uriah, was also one of David's mighty men. And Eliam's father was Ahithophel, who was David's wise counselor. Remember? They said when Ahithophel gave wisdom, it was as if God was speaking wisdom personally. This was her family, Ahithophel, and Eliam, and Uriah was her husband. And we read in chapter 11 what a faithful man of great character and principle Uriah was. This was her family. Her grandfather, Ahithophel, I'm sure he shared things with her also. And in her lineage, we remember when we read the lineage of Christ. Bathsheba is mentioned in Christ's lineage. It's such a wonderful note of grace. You know who else is mentioned in the lineage of Christ? Her son Solomon. Also one of her other sons, Nathan. And it's so interesting that Bathsheba and David would name one of their sons Nathan, isn't it? Because the prophet Nathan was the one who confronted David, who named his sin. Where David was smitten with great conviction, where he faced judgment of losing his firstborn child and having the sword and strife in his house for many of his days. It was Nathan who was the prophet and the messenger of God's judgment, and Bathsheba and David named one of their children Nathan. I find that insightful to their heart, to their humility, to their reverence before God, of recognizing their sin and also God's righteousness and grace. But the first son died, but the second son, or the second son that God gave to David and Bathsheba, was Solomon. He was a son of great grace. He was called, God called him my beloved. God loved Solomon. That Solomon was to be the object of God's covenant, God's promises. God said about Solomon that I will give him in a kingdom that will never end, that through his line will come the Messiah. Through God's grace, Bathsheba becomes a mother of the Messiah, at least in the lineage, and Solomon is also in that line. What amazing grace that is. And as we study the history of Kings, 20 times it mentions the name of the mother of the king. And it's related to whether the king became evil or whether he was good. It says, this was so-and-so was the king, and he did good in the sight of the Lord, and his mother's name was. And this king did evil in the sight of the Lord, and his mother's name was. Showing in the history of the kings who sat on the throne how crucial the teaching and influence and example of the mother was in his life. Much of what Solomon heard as he was a boy affected him and helped him as a man. And in 1 Kings chapter 2, and this is where we want to pluck out our main thought today. 1 Kings chapter 2. I think we have this verse on the screen. In verse 17. And it's Adonijah speaking. Adonijah was also one of David's sons. And Adonijah comes to Bathsheba. And this is much later. Remember, Solomon's about 40. So Bathsheba, we don't know exactly, but in her 60s or her 70s. And he says, please speak to King Solomon, for he will not refuse you, that he may give me Abishag the Shunammite as my wife. And Bathsheba said, very well, I will speak for you to the king. Notice Adonijah said, he will not refuse you. Isn't that beautiful? Adonijah knew, oh, if your mother asks you, you will. If you ask your if your mother asks, she will not be refused. And we know the story in the previous chapter, chapter 1. Adonijah made a play for the throne. He tried to take the throne. David was getting older, just about to die, and Adonijah exalted himself. But he was prevented, and David said, no, we anoint Solomon. And Solomon was made king, and Solomon said of Adonijah, I'll give him another chance. But if he shows he's after the throne one more time, it's he brings judgment on his own head. And this is what Adonijah's doing here. For asking for Abishag for his wife, because she was connected to David, he was really making a play for the throne. But Bathsheba wasn't as clued into that as Solomon was. So she came before the king. Now before we read this, let's remember, Solomon is the king of Israel. He is a king of great power, great influence, great wealth. He expanded the kingdom way beyond his father. If you were in the presence of Solomon, there would be fear and reverence before the king. You would do what he said, for his throne had great authority. You would bow in his presence, for he was the king of Israel. Let's read verse 19. Bathsheba therefore went to King Solomon to speak to him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed down to her and sat down on his throne and had a throne set for the king's mother. So she sat at his right hand. And here's the principle that every king, and I don't mean that because my name's King, and my mother is here. It's wonderful to have my mother here. But every king should stoop in the presence of his mother. That is fitting. That is honorable in the sight of heaven. That a man would have great honor before his mother. And of course his father. That is fitting and honorable. That Solomon rises up from the throne to meet her and he bows in her presence. And then he says, bring a throne for my mother, and the throne is on his right side, which is the highest place of honor. How fitting is it that the most powerful man in all of Israel would bow before his mother? It doesn't matter if you're a president or a czar or a king or a ruler. There's no one like your mother. And here's a quote. I don't know who said it, but here it is. To love and care for our mother is one element of greatness that we all may possess. Isn't that wonderful? One element of greatness is this, that we would have love and honor for our mother, for our father, for our family, for our imperfect family. Because we may hear this and say, well, I love the principle, but... But there is no perfect person, there is no perfect family or perfect history. And as believers, we find grace not in theory, not in theology only, but in our experience, in our very heart. We look back across our history and it must be with mercy and grace. But there we find our own freedom, our own healing, our own deliverance. Because there are things that happen in our life that can hurt us, can wound us, can leave us with a limp or bitterness. But we, as believers, we rewrite our history because of grace and because of mercy and because of love and because of God's healing and authority and redemption, not only in our future but in our past. That's powerful, isn't it? That means they don't say, oh, from here on in, it's going to be okay. No, we look back and we see, oh, God, deliver me now from what happened in my life, in my family. It's wonderful. It's beautiful. So he had a throne set for his mother. Surely there needs to be a throne for our mother set in our life. And then, she said, verse 20, I desire one small petition of you. Do not refuse me. And the king said, ask it, my mother, for I will not refuse you. There are many in the kingdom who would come to Solomon who would be refused, but not his mother. Perhaps one might be so wayward, so proud, or make a case where they would not. But Solomon wanted to honor his mother. Listen to some verses from the book of Proverbs. The heavenly book of wisdom would speak to our hearts. And this is what it says in 15:20. A foolish man despises his mother. 19:26. He who chases away his mother causes shame. 23:22. Do not despise your mother when she is old. Proverbs 30, verse 11. There is a generation that curses their father and does not bless its mother. We could say we see that generation. Probably every generation could say, oh, we see that in our generation. But as believers, we are set apart from what's happening in the world and in the culture. We have a different mindset, a different value system. We have the book of Proverbs in our hearts that says, fear God and honor your parents and hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the teaching of your mother. And if you do that, it will be like an ornament of grace on your head and around your neck. You will be blessed if you do that. This is our honor system as believers. And we read it in Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 1, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. There are perhaps things that we could say, well, what is right, this or that? Is it a gray area? I don't know. This couldn't be spelled out more clearly than this. This is right, that you would honor your parents. Verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And what that means, this is the fifth commandment plucked out of the ten in Exodus 19. And this commandment is attached to a promise. It says, if you honor your mother and father, you will be blessed. You will live long on the earth. This is verse 3. It says, that it may be well with you, and you will live life on the earth. I think if a believer is living in faith and honoring God in his life and by grace through faith honors this truth, there can be the promise experienced in his life. I believe that. And the word here, honor, is timeo. It means to recognize the value of something. Not everyone might recognize that value, but you do. The word means to put a fixed value on something or to prize something, to highly esteem something. Something may be very valuable in your life, but perhaps you don't recognize the value yet. But there are things, perhaps the older we get, maybe there's even a little wisdom that comes with that as we get older in our experience and our shortcomings and failures. And as we learn, we realize, oh, now I realize how valuable that is. What a gift that is. We realize that with people that God puts in our life. Whether that's in our family or in the church or in certain ways, God puts a person in my life and I learn to honor what a gift, what a blessing that is. So we learn to honor people, but especially as believers. We have a very clear, high honor system that we recognize the value of people, of time, of family, of church, of the Word of God. In Budapest, in Hungary, they used to have what was called Rubbish Day, when everyone would put out their rubbish on the street. It was quite a sight. First of all, you're thinking, what is happening? Everyone is moving on the same day, and boy, they need some new furniture. The streets would be lined with rubbish and broken down chest of drawers. But you know what? There will be people going through that. And they will, and one man's rubbish is another man's treasure. And there have been examples of people who have thrown something so valuable away, but they did not know how valuable it was. A precious painting or something that was worth so much, but they did not know how easy it could be to go through life or to go through my youth and not recognize the value of what God has given me. But then we begin to get it. Oh, I get it. I understand. As a grace believer, you are so thankful for what has been added, for what has been given. When you think about father, and of course, maybe you had a good father or a bad father or never knew your father. But either way, the father has a different, more limited investment or impact in my life. A special place, a wonderful gift, but the mother who carries her child for 9 months, her life changed, her body changed, her career path changed, everything changed. Many things came to a grinding halt. Wow. Raising a child, bringing a child into the world. The sacrifices, the nursing, the months, the years, the loving, thinking, praying at the bedside, in the sicknesses, meal after meal, and cleaning and washing and loving and praying this precious child. It reminds me of a story my mom told me when I was a young boy, and obviously there was reason she told me this story. And it's the story of a young boy who one day he writes a note to his mother, and he says, "Dear Mom, I put away all my books, 50p. I made my bed, 50p. I put all my clothes in the laundry, 75p. I put all my toys away, one pound, etc." And he totals it at the end, love, and then signs his name. And then his mother comes in to really tidy the room and finds the note, smiles, and turns it over and says, "Carried you in my womb for 9 months. No charge. Nursed you for so many years, no charge. Changed countless nappies, no charge. Made so many meals, not the long list, no charge, no charge, no charge." And the son came home and he picks up the letter. And hopefully it was a serious learning moment in his life. I know it was in mine. It should be in our lives, shouldn't it? All the grace given to us through people that God has given us. So in Proverbs 1:8, Solomon says, he speaks here of the father and the mother and the son. Notice the family unit. These relationships are important. Solomon, as he writes here, took it for granted. And so we used to take it for granted also. But in this day and age, you can't take it for granted anymore. The family unit. There is so much that is against it, so much to decay the values, the biblical values and the foundation even of our nation. What has been so rock solid is now much of that is attacked and decaying. But family was God's idea. And he started it and he defined it, and we're good with that. For in Genesis 1:28, he says, "Male and female I created them." That's pretty clear. "Go forth and multiply." Well, how? And then in 2:24 it says, "A man shall leave his father and leave his mother and be joined to his wife." A husband of one wife, a husband and a wife, and then a father and a mother, and then God's blessing on the family. What a wonderful thing. Again, the family is not perfect, the marriage is not perfect, right? I'm not looking at my wife. The marriage is not perfect, the family is not perfect, but we have grace. God gives grace for us, for our families, even for broken homes and single moms. How about a great shout out for the single moms this morning? Woo! You are heroes. We love you. Yeah. So particularly in the 21st century, we must fight for our families, and it's not easy. And for those of you here who are 21st century parents, you know what I mean. We face challenges that have not been there before. It is incredible. It's possible to lose your children in your own home because how easily they can be plugged in. And a parent cannot hand their child a phone and say, you deal with it, you take care of it, good luck. Can't happen. You lose your child. But it's a constant battle, isn't it? We need prayer, we need grace, we need wisdom, we need help. God is faithful, and the church, of course, is a strength and a help also. But Solomon writes, hear your father and forsake not the teaching of your mother. And this is foundation. What's foundational for this instruction? But the fear of God, verse 7. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So when you think about instruction and teaching in the home, the premise is the fear of God. It's not a perfect home, but our children hopefully will sense the fear of God is there and that our faith is real. And as parents, we may fail, but that's okay. That's part of life. We have grace not to fail, and we have grace when we do fail. But even when we fail, our children see that. That is also part of our worldview. That when we fail as parents, we go to God and we ask for forgiveness, and then we go to our children. Oh, countless times I have needed to go to Ryan and my girls and say, I am so sorry. And they see something in that, hopefully. They see that this is not hypocrisy. That my parents are pretending to be something and not, they're really not. No, my parents are real people and they also sin and they also fail and they need grace and mercy just like I do. That is part of the equation. That is real life. That is Bathsheba and Solomon. That is the Bible. It is a God of grace towards sinful people. And God has set up this incredible order that he honors greatly, the sacred institution of marriage and the wonderful blessed unit of the family. And he says, oh, by the way, you're going to need a lot of grace. And I have it for you. So we hope that there is the fear of God in our life, in our heart, and in our home. And our children and our family, and we could throw in our wives and our husbands and etc., would say, oh, I get it. You're not just a churchgoer. You really believe God. You really love God. And you are not pretending to be some perfect super Christian, but you are real and you stumble and you get up again with grace and you follow God. I see it. Not perfect, but blessed. It's not about being perfect. Someone might say, oh, I blew my testimony. What does that mean? Your testimony is not over yet. Your testimony continues that you find grace and you find mercy and you get up again. That's a great testimony. In 2 Timothy 1, it mentions about Timothy's mother and Timothy's grandmother. Paul says, oh, I know the faith that is within you, that was first in your grandmother Lois and also in your mother Eunice. Isn't that wonderful? There was faith in his grandmother and faith in his mother. And it had an effect on Timothy. He had to make his own choice. And it's not always the choice that we hope for. But there was a faith, an investment, an opportunity. There was the fear of God in the home. There was a Bible that was open in the home. The grandmother Lois and the mother Eunice. Sometimes on earth we don't see the real heroes. But in heaven we will. It's highlighted just in one phrase here in the whole book of Timothy and in the story of Timothy on the missions journey and the pastor Timothy with this little phrase, oh, your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. There's a call to sons and daughters in this verse, these two things, to hear and to not forsake. Two things. First of all, to hear. Do you hear the instruction of your father? And then secondly, not to forsake. And these are the two temptations with rebellion in a person's life, particularly in a teenager's life. It is not to hear and it is to forsake. I'm not going to hear the instruction of my father. And also when I get the chance, I'm going to forsake the teaching of my mother. This is the temptation. But here is the calling of God. To hear and not to forsake. And when you do that, God says, oh, there will be a crown, a necklace, a blessing on your life. And let's close here this morning, considering Proverbs 31. And this is a proverb that starts, it's a proverb of King Lemuel. And it writes of the words his mother taught him, is verse 1. The words his mother taught him. It's commonly believed, in fact, more than not, commentators believe that this is actually referring to Solomon. The word, the name here, is very close to the meaning of his name. That he was given a second name at birth, which means the beloved of God. It's very possible in Proverbs, all mainly written by Solomon, that this one also is written by Solomon. We don't know. But if it was, that means that these are the words of Bathsheba. Words to give wisdom to her son. And she writes about things to avoid, drunkenness and women and strong drink and things that will destroy a king and destroy your life. And then, of course, she comes to verse 10. She speaks about the virtuous woman. This was the woman that Bathsheba sought to be in her household. And we say, oh, if this is Bathsheba to Solomon or whatever, all of the proverbs that Solomon himself wrote, and he had wisdom, but he didn't always apply it, suffered the consequences for it. But the mother, the loving, pleading heart of a mother towards her son. She writes of the virtuous woman in verse 10. She says, "Or who can find a virtuous woman? For her worth is far above rubies." Why is a ruby so precious? Because it is so rare. And here it's saying, oh, a virtuous woman, how rare it is. Who can find it? But we would say, oh, you know where they are in abundance? In the church. In the body of Christ, among the people of God. It is filled with rubies. With virtuous women who have the fear of God in their life. Who live by faith. And when they fail, they find grace and they get up again and they continue to the glory of God. And then this woman is described in the closing verses, and we'll just read them to close. I think we have these verses on the overhead, but in verse 26, it says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and then on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children shall rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, he praises her. And he says, many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. And charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning. We want to thank you for the amazing grace that is upon our life. We think about all of the things that went before us in our life, from our childhood through our teenage years. On this day, God, all of the words, the wisdom, the instruction, the teaching, the example, the prayers, the sacrifice of people in our life, in our families, and particularly our mothers. And again, we know this world and people are not perfect, but we are so thankful in our hearts today, with grace and mercy and love in our hearts and thankfulness in our hearts for all that you gave. We pray that there will be a throne set up in our lives, in our hearts, for our mothers. Yes, God. We pray that there will be honor, growing, very clear honor in our lives for the things that you have given, the people that you have given, the family that you have added. And we take a moment to pray for our families. We ask for your grace, for your help. We pray for every mother here this morning, every father, every family represented in this room, and the extended family that are perhaps not here today. Oh God, we pray in Jesus' name for your help, for your blessing on our families. Encourage us with these words and thoughts today. Thank you for your design, your order, your way in the family that is greatly honored in our hearts. We thank you for the gift of salvation. We pray perhaps for people in our own family, perhaps our own children that are not saved, that have not believed in you. And we pray that you would draw them. We pray for any who are here this morning or listening online. You're not sure of your salvation, or pray this prayer. For God loves you with an undying love. For Christ died for you on the cross to pay for your sins. And now the gift of salvation is offered to whoever will simply receive and believe. Put your faith in him this morning. Oh Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me, and I receive you into my heart as my personal Savior. Thank you for saving me today by grace through faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, we'll sing a worship song together and worship the Lord. Don't